Now we're on. Can you tell the difference?
Yes.
Yeah, I can tell. Can you tell?
Yes.
Yeah, big difference. We start these exactly the same way. Yeah, right. Yeah, is that me? We start exactly the same way because you're going to be really exciting and I'm going to be boring as all shite. Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Yeah. I'm Evan Walsh.
I'm Josh McClory.
Okay, I'm Pete.
I'm Russ.
We're the Stripes.
We are the Stripes.
Let's fill in some weird blanks. Okay, Dr. Feelgood, Pub Rock, Ireland. Okay, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Is it Cavan?
Cavan.
See, I had a producer that was from the north in the UK, so I learned how to say water.
Yeah, it's pronounced Cavan 100%.
Cavan.
100% phonetically.
Cavan.
Yeah.
We're just going to spend the rest of the time doing this.
C-A-V-A-N.
Everybody together. Could you all say Cavan together all at once?
Cavan.
Cavan.
Beautiful. Cavan. Oh, you see, you can't even synchronize it. What kind of band do you guys? What kind of timing do you guys have?
We have rubbish timing.
Rubbish timing. There's always stuff between the lines. There's got to be a million things that are going to inform people about your music.
We all absolutely adore the Marx Brothers.
Yeah.
That's the Marx Brothers,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, love all the films.
He's got the hair.
And Laurel and Hardy. Yeah, I know, yeah, that's the whole idea.
You're ready to rock.
That's the whole thing. That's the thinking behind the hair. The
yeah. Well, now think about it, because the Beatles, had Hard Day's Night and Help, right? Yeah, yeah. And, Jerry and the Pacemakers, I actually own this record, did Ferry Cross the Mercy. You want to see an awful movie? Have you seen it?
Yes.
It's awful.
Yeah, it is.
It's
yeah,
horrendous.
It's horrendous.
Right, Herman's Hermits, Hold On.
I've not seen that.
Oh, you got to watch it. Shelley Fabre, she's really cute. Great soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What's the Spencer Davis Group film?
Oh, what was theirs?
What was it called?
The Ghost Goes Gear, one of the worst films
ever made
in any genre.
But
by anybody ever.
Okay, I'm going to say, out of nowhere, and it's not out of nowhere, but if you read every interview the way it is, the EP comes out, it gets played a little bit on Irish radio. I'm doing this in my full announcer voice. And then the record companies go swooping on in. And out of nowhere, you have this massive record deal.
Well, it was over the
but course. You didn't, because you actually were, and this I know, you were approached by Universal Ireland.
True.
And you told them...
You're not lying.
You said,
right, and you said Universal Ireland...
What did we say?
And it wasn't even like Universal, like when you go to LA and you can go on the rides and the tour.
No.
This was Universal Ireland, and
yes,
you told them
Dublin.
To stick it.
We didn't tell them to stick it.
We said
it's not worth giving up school and giving up jobs and... giving up our future to sign
to that deal.
Yeah, but well, to be fair, like the people at Universal Ireland, particularly Mark Crossingham, who is the head at the moment, our mate Crossy, he contacted the UK labels for us. So I mean,
we are actually signed to Universal Ireland in Ireland.
Right.
See,
oh, you are. Because technically you're on Mercury.
Since
England.
It's a mishmash of labels.
Mercury doesn't actually exist anymore. It's now Virgin EMI.
Okay, but what really happened? Did you have a manager before Rocket?
No, it was just the five of us.
Where was, who saw what? Because this is, I don't have the Brian Epstein story here.
Well, I saw Ev.
My dad was
yeah.
Before that.
Okay, your dad was a manager, right?
More by default.
And he was in the biz.
No.
Okay, so whose dad was
in
the
Fireflies?
He
was in the Fireflies.
No,
that could be a band name.
He was in
the
band.
The business.
Fireflies, who kind of made it
made it.
In Ireland. And they weren't signed, and they only got on telly, more than we have. Maybe 5 or 6 times.
Pretty successful in Ireland for a little while, for a very brief period. So he... basically came on the road and dealt with all the adults when we were starting out, and he drove the van and he looked after us and fed us and washed our hair and changed our nappies and stuff. Before we signed with Rocket, he was sort of, with the five of us were just dealing with it, and then Rocket got in touch, and then that was it.
November 2012, Rocket got in touch saying, would you like professional management? We went and had a meet.
So when did he first actually meet you and come to see you? The Rocket Man.
Oh, the Rocket Man.
The Rocket Man.
First time he came to see us was in December.
That's a great Elton John imitation by the way. It sounded like Humphrey Bogart doing Elton John.
He came in and went, this is how it's going to be, see? Hello? Yeah. It was in December 2012. He came to see us in a very small pub in Brighton called Fitzherbert's. Mm-hmm. I would tell you the street, but I don't know it.
And he just walked in and people were like, oh, it's Elton John.
Sort of.
John impersonator.
Yeah. Elton John impersonator. Yeah. There's a lot of those.
It was Elton John. It doesn't look that bad.
Now, am I mistaken that the album, this thing that we just got.
Yes.
How long has it been over in the UK for Zane Lowe and NME and everybody else to tell you how wonderful you are?
September.
Yep. September 9th.
But all kidding aside, you're here. You're playing smaller clubs.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, you like that, right?
Yeah, that's the home.
It's all good. You don't really care that, because the making it in the US is like the golden egg. Is it the golden egg for this band?
I don't know. It's one of many golden eggs, if possible. We're on a treasure hunt. We're having a treasure hunt.
Letterman, laser tag. Now, I'm not going to show you the ticket, but I've been to a lot of Lettermans over the years and seen a lot of musicians on that set. And he either likes you and just comes up and says, oh, thanks. But he was just practically jumping out of his, shiny suit.
He was excited about the laser tag.
He was really excited. And I think the reason he was really excited is because he was able to relate to you. The music made sense to him. So here's an interesting thing, because, and we're not going to do the how old you are, but one of the things that's really interesting from the marketing demographic side of corporate America is that your music can really get people that are, you know, this old and people that are this old, and it all works. And that's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting thing to see. And I mean, laser tag. How can you lose with laser tag?
Of course, yeah. It didn't happen in the end. That was the first and last we heard of it.
Yeah, empty promises.
Yeah.
Would you like to? Okay, so who wants to address Letterman directly on this?
I'll call him out.
Write him a letter.
David. Yeah, David. he didn't bring us for laser tag. I'm sure he went off with his own friends and went for laser tag.
Emma Watson and Nick Offerman.
Yeah, I bet you went laser tag with Emma Watson. Yeah, we would have owned Emma Watson at laser tag. Let's be honest.
Okay, here we go. Ready? I'm going to give you a couple of these because I really kind of like these. The pop rubbish coming out now makes me angry.
Quote unquote Evan Walsh.
Yes. So
quote unquote paraphrase.
What you're playing back in the day, I mean, you're going to tell me Cruel to Be Kind isn't a pop song. You're
going to
tell me Heart in the City isn't a pop song.
It isn't a pop song.
Tell me about Heart of the City and why it's not a pop song.
It's not classic, it's not in the genre.
And why it's actually very difficult to play Heart of the City really well, because you're covering a song, but the songs you're covering to get away with, and I say get away with in quotes, to get away with making them yours and have people think they're yours half the time. Tell me the difference.
The difference between Cruel to Be Kind and Heart of the City.
Although the same difference between I Want to Hold Your Hand and Revolution.
Or Rock the Casbah and London Calling.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
Yeah, in a way that, it was just totally possible for someone like Nick Lowe to do songs that would be sort of poppy and commercial and then songs that aren't. In the same way when he was in Brangelee Swartz, he was doing country rock.
That's right.
Which is something he rarely went back to, if at all.
That's right.
So it's completely, Heart of the City is a rock song, three chords, driving, 4-4 timing, you know, very simple, catchy, lyrics that rhyme, and then...
And melody.
But when you think about the filter of what is going to be a Stripes song, and I want you to just go down really quickly in a couple of words. When you go down the filter of what's going to be a Stripes song and you're talking about it, what do you say?
It's, you know, bluesy.
Okay, go ahead.
Just can we try and make it fast and representative of what the band, how we all feel about the song?
Okay. So it's got to be at least 168 beats per minute.
Yeah,
about that, yeah.
It's got to be.
A minimum, yeah.
Yeah, minimum.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just ballsy as well. Just ballsy, incredible, and not soft.
Right. So not gonna
soft
be a lot
in
of
the
so,
weak
so
sense.
Not gonna be a lot of ballads on these albums.
No.
You're not gonna do like the power ballad.
No.
No.
No power ballads coming up on
album 84. Album.
Leave that to Bon Jovi.
Yeah, we'll let Bon Jovi do
Wind
that.
Machines and chest clutching. We do not do.
Okay, there's one other one I'm gonna hit you just to be really evil.
Hit me.
These kids today, they crave fame rather than working to be musicians and getting in the van and doing gigs.
Yeah. Quote unquote, Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
I think kids today take what they're given, like most kids in most days. Generally, our peers today generally take what they're given, which is why, you know, there's a lot of pop music doing the rounds is because it's what the man to get, you know, to get all hippy dippy on
you. You mean that man that's in What a Shame, that man?
The same man, yeah. The same
that man, the same actually, What a Shame same, guy?
The same fella.
I know that guy.
The same fella who
I've
thinks,
worked with that guy a lot.
Yeah, he works at Capital.
It's generally the same fella that, who, you know, thinks he can get inside everybody's heads and knows what everyone's thinking and puts out what he thinks, you know, will sell. And sells because that's basically all that's put out in the mainstream media. But when you come to a lot of our gigs in England, you know, the last UK tour we did, the first, you know, 9-10 rows were all kids our age that wanted to pogo and headbutt and fight and just do what kids have always done.
Raglans, tell me about them.
Raglans
are... Because you like that band.
Fantastic. Raglans are a four-piece folk rock.
But they're not like neo-folk.
No. Folky influence, but I would say guitar pop in the best sense. But folky influence from Dublin. And a fantastic band, good friends of ours, really killer shows.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.